This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, here come the rooster. Yeah!
You know we ain't gonna die.
Oh, little Alice in Chains, buddy. It's WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Zach Wheeler's walkout song.
You're not a grunge guy?
Whose walkout song is this?
Wheeler's.
Oh, is it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Dude, I don't think I've ever noticed this song before a playoff game?
Yeah.
It is. That's why he's so dominant in the postseason.
Oh.
So, essentially, like, there were four grunge bands that really matter, essentially.
Yeah.
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden.
Never heard of Soundgarden.
You probably know Spoon Man.
I might know if I hear it.
Yeah, you might know Black Hole Sun. You might know that song. You probably know the songs if you heard them.
Yeah.
But and they all, except for Pearl Jam, singers for all of them passed away early. Lane Staley, the singer for Alice in Chains, that one died from it, had a horrible heroin addiction.
Kurt Cobain
died, yep, of course. And Chris Cornell, also from Soundgarden. He's the one who passed away. So
watched the Oscars last night?
I didn't.
Neither did I.
There you go. I looked at the...
I did see some of it, though.
Well, I looked at the best picture, and I know Seltzer's a big, you know, Oscars guy, you know.
Yeah.
There he is.
He actually had an Oscar question this morning.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I was probably the most happy I've ever looked at a morning show poll. 95% of listeners on, like, 2,000 votes had never heard of the movie. Didn't watch
that
it.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Anora, right? That one. Yeah, so...
The indie film.
It seems like one that I would like. My wife has told me that one looks like a movie.
Yeah.
But me, who... I watch a lot of movies. My wife and I watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, you're a big movie watcher.
I had only seen one of the Best Picture nominees.
Which one?
The Substance with Demi Moore.
So I watched that last night.
All right.
It sucked.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it had... And I'm a horror guy.
Right.
I watch a lot of horror, and it got a lot of awesome reviews.
Right.
I just like, I watched it. I was thinking, so the whole idea of it is like this impossible standard we hold women to, you know, when they get older. But like, that's a movie you would have made in 1996 or something. It's not like a new idea or anything. And I thought the movie just went for gross out and for like extremeness rather than being, like, I didn't think it was interesting. I didn't think it was scary. It wasn't a bad watch, but I didn't think it was best picture.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
And it went on way too long. There are very few horror movies that should be anything longer than an hour 42.
Right, exactly.
Yes. And I'm a horror movie guy, right? I don't mind gross out. I don't mind dark. But I just thought that this one, they just wanted to say how brave Demi Moore was.
Yeah, Renee liked it. It was Elijah's idea.
I just didn't think it was that good.
I'm sitting there like, what am I watching?
Just didn't think it was that good. Think of a second, Jack. Did you see any of the Best Picture nominees?
I probably haven't watched a movie in 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have the attention span for a movie.
I have the attention span. I don't have the time for a movie. I got multiple spring training games to watch.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what do you mean you don't have time for a movie?
Yeah.
I don't have time for
You don't have the attention span.
Because what does that even mean?
You're
have to sit there through a movie and watch it and pay attention.
And not do something else.
Right.
I can
exactly,
lock in.
Exactly, not be on.
Hold on.
Your phone. You can't watch a movie and also be on
how
your phone.
How can I watch a baseball game?
Because you're on your phone the whole time.
I'm on the baseball game. How do I know what I'm watching?
There is literally zero. I would imagine
How many? There's no chance you're getting through a whole movie without being on the phone. You're,
I don't miss a word you two say in 4 hours.
You're at work,
and I'm on my phone.
I know, but you can't watch a movie that way.
Whatever.
You can't. True or false? You say you're not on your phone. Do you ever go more than watching a baseball game 7 minutes without looking at Twitter?
Of course not.
Okay.
There's things to do between innings.
But that's the difference between a movie and a baseball game.
Right.
You can't be on your phone because you're going to miss something.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to explain to your wife what she missed because she was talking. I mean, yeah. You have to explain to you what you missed because you were looking at Twitter.
I like a good movie.
Yeah. I love a movie.
Last night I was in. I haven't seen Demi Moore in anything in a while.
And she was fine in it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
I was like, yeah. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. Yeah,
yeah,
check it out.
It's not that good. If you want a horror movie recommendation, shoot me or Justin from Tennessee a tweet. We'll give you a bunch of horror movies. So speaking of horror movies,
yes.
The Sixers continued to play this weekend, and they beat the Warriors. Unconscionable win,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes scores 44 points. Imagine me. So I watched the game the next morning, but I checked in halfway through. I looked at the score. I'm like, wow, the Sixers are up 12. Wait a minute. Tyrese Maxey hasn't scored, and Paul George has made one shot. How does that even happen?
Yeah.
But the big news.
Imagine what that did for the parlay.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Well, Jack bet Paul George hit 6 threes, which is the.
Take those odds any day.
I'm not doing that.
Can I tell you this?
Plus there, 680.
There's a chance that Paul George doesn't make 6 threes the rest of the season.
Well, I thought since he quit Podcast P, he's more locked in. That
yes.
showed against the Knicks.
He did.
And then the Warriors were the other teams, and maybe he wanted to play well so he can get traded there this offseason. That was my logic.
Yeah, but they already got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, how's he going there now?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about it.
But the big news was during NBA Countdown, I guess, or whatever it was, where Shams had this report on Joel Embiid.
Malika, this all came to a head over the last couple of weeks, specifically when I'm told Joel Embiid went directly to 76ers owner Josh Harris about the state of his knee and about where the realization he's at with what's in the best interest of him, the organization, as far as a potential shutdown. Because remember, Josh Harris owes Joel Embiid up to $300 million over the next 5 seasons. So the backdrop to all this is that over the last month, we've seen fundamental differences between Joel Embiid and the 76ers as far as Embiid believing that he needs a different treatment approach for this versus the 76ers feeling you play on it, get in better condition, and you could continue on this year. This has been a situation the 76ers have been dealing with all season, and they've managed the swelling in multiple different ways, including injections monthly just to get him on the court. But here they are in lockstep. This is all about getting Joel Embiid back on the court in the best sustainable way, and they are in lockstep about that.
So, you know, he framed the went to Josh Harris as, like, he's obviously is in constant conversation with the management of the basketball team.
Right.
Like that, it's not like that doesn't happen. It's not like he
that's not a shocker.
Well, yeah, it's not like he had to finally go to the owner and say, hey, my knee's messed up or whatever.
Yeah.
I do believe that there is a difference in opinion about what can happen with the knee. But here is what I would say to Joel or Joel's camp or whoever. Okay, what's the surgery then? Like, here we are. It's almost a week since they shut him down, since they were going to confer with experts, right? That was Tuesday or Monday, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the surgery? What's the surgery? What's the treatment? Because all we keep hearing are, like, 7 different options. I understand that Embiid and his camp are probably really frustrated that the plan that they all thought was best, that the doctors thought was best, has not worked. I can imagine that frustration. But I feel like he is reaching for a solution that maybe doesn't exist, that he wants somebody to tell him, just have this surgery and then it'll be okay.
Right.
I just don't think it exists. You know,
so he's probably having a hard time accepting that.
I think it's probably part of it. I also think, you know, we see the Josh Harris thing now twice, once from Shams, one from Stephen A. And remember the first name that Stephen A. brought up when he said that? It was Magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Magic is part of the Commanders ownership group.
Yep.
And you had said this on Friday that he and Bob Myers might smell a little blood,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe separately, maybe together.
Yep.
And I have no doubt that some of this is fueled from that. But as far as like the Joel part, I brought up the Fultz thing last time we talked about this.
Yeah.
And when Markel Fultz has had a shot broken, all we sort of heard, maybe not publicly, but from the team was, it ain't his shoulder. Like, there's no nothing physically wrong with him. But Fultz's camp
insisted something
just go after doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor until someone would say, here's what it is, here's your shoulder. And here we are, by the way, 5 years later, they supposedly had solved whatever the shoulder thing was. He's not even in basketball.
Right.
And the shot never got fixed. So I think the entire situation is kind of a bummer. I hope they come to, but this, just be clear, whatever this next step is, this is going to be Joel's choice, what he wants to do. You know,
now this is interesting because the team doesn't think he needs to go under the knife to get something.
Well, I think
corrected, right.
I think what the team thought was this is the best path. Now that this path, and Joel, like, I don't know how committed he was to that path. You know, to continuing to play on it, even though it doesn't feel right. I know he's saying it doesn't feel right. And I know that they're frustrated, right, that it keeps swelling up too. They must be. But also, we're at the point where they're just going to have to throw a Hail Mary. If he doesn't want to do that, they're going to have to throw a Hail Mary on what.
Yeah.
And Lisa Salter's mentioned meniscus replacement, meniscus repair, which they can't do. They already took the, unless he has another meniscus injury, they already took the little frayed parts out, and meniscus replacement, which, in my understanding, is not a real option for Joel Embiid.
Nick Nurse's comments after the game. He was asked something about Joel and whether or not it had gotten worse. And he was like, and I'm paraphrasing, did he say something like, there is no new injury?
Yes.
Like, sometimes it feels good and then sometimes it doesn't?
Yes.
I wonder if there's obviously some bone of contention there, right, with Joel and let's say the team.
Yeah, I think there is a bone of contention in that he thinks there should be a surgical option that should make this better, that the path that they all chose wasn't the best path.
Right.
But here we sit, right? He had new imaging on the knee.
Mm-hmm.
He saw new experts. We are a week in. And we still have, they would have leaked something about here's what the surgery is.
Yeah.
But we're a week into it, right? And we still have not heard anything. We're still hearing about the same mystery, radiation, hip, break your hip, meniscus replacement. It's the, what's the other one? Microfracture. You know, if there was some magic thing, the worst news out of all of this is that it keeps swelling up and there isn't a surgical option to fix it. I mean, that's where the realistic thing here is that the best path they saw did not work, and there is not an easy second choice.
You like seeing him at the game Saturday?
I did. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet some of the weight is off his shoulder. No one's asking him if he's going to play tonight anymore.
Right. You had to worry about that. And it did. I mean, hell, I hadn't seen him smile.
Right.
Like he was after the game for Quentin Grimes and the game that he had and, you know, pouring the water on him. I hadn't sort of seen that sort of Joel Embiid. He's sort of been somber and I don't want to say mopey-ish, but I can understand. He's sort of come off like that all year. He hasn't really seemed to be in the highest of spirits all year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, yes, I agree with you. It was good to see him smiling and all that kind of stuff. And, there are a lot of criticisms you can have with Embiid. He wants to play. I mean, he wants to be out there. He wants to be good. It isn't, there's nothing about this that hasn't been, doesn't want to get in the game and be good and play.
Yeah,
you can question his work habits for sure and choking in the Boston series and Miami series for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's ever been a question, not to me, that he doesn't want to get out there and play basketball.
Yeah, when you're that good, that size, and you've already built somewhat of a legacy, I would imagine, you said this before, there has to be frustration and somewhat heartbreak that he can't go be the player that he know he has the ability to be. It's like Tracy McGrady, Penny Hardaway. You know, we remember those guys when they were top 5 to 10 players in the league.
Yes.
And injuries robbed them.
Grant Hill.
Yeah. Injuries robbed them of who they could have become had they remained healthy. And this is different for him. He's a big man. And while he's had some individual success, he's never been able to put it all together for a sustained period of time without having the health stuff interfere with it. It's It's got to be frustrating to him.
Absolutely.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, only a few players, only a few athletes know what it's like to be that good at something.
And then to come back and not be able to just
can't do it. Yeah.
Score whenever you want. There was, I think you pointed out there was one play, and maybe if it wasn't the last game he played, the one before that, where he went up to shoot the ball and he ended up falling down and the ball ended up 5 feet short of the rim.
Yeah.
That he thought there was an explosion coming that just wasn't there. You know, and all you need to do really, I mean, he averaged on one leg against the Knicks, he averaged 33, 10, and 5 or something. Just watch. Watch games from 4 years ago.
Or, somebody put together a highlight package of him.
Doesn't even look like the same guy.
I was like, dude, it's unbelievable. Like somebody put together like a 2-minute highlight package of him when he was in his bag, you know, when he was doing his thing, man.
His physical peak?
Yeah.
It's very easy to forget because he hasn't been in his physical peak for a couple years, but his physical peak was pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
Pretty outrageous. All right. Yep. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Is this a World Series or bust season for the Phillies? 76.4 say yes. Seth in the Northeast, you're on WIP.
Yo, Seth.
Seth in the Northeast.
All righty.
Seth in the Northeast. John in Abington, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, John?
What's up, John?
So, you know, like, Dombrowski did what he was supposed to do with getting another pitcher. You can't get any more fielders. What are you going to do? Like, you got Harper and you have Trey, and you got some other guys in the minor leagues, but what else could he have done? Your pitching is going to beat hitting. Am I correct?
Well, pitching beats hitting unless your hitters
unless
don't
you
hit
can't
at all.
Hit, yeah.
I mean, it should. It didn't last year. I agree with you that I think upgrading the pitching staff probably makes a bigger difference than getting a better third baseman than Alec Bohm.
Yeah, people wanted to see Bohm move. Like,
yeah.
They wanted some
they
sort
wanted to
of
shake
move.
The core up.
Yes.
Yeah. They wanted to shake the core up.
But I think the thing is that Bohm hit 2 homers yesterday.
Wind blow.
So maybe that woke him up a little bit to understand that, you know, they may move him. But it is what it is. If Bohm's going to hit, and Castellanos in his last year of or 2 years of his contract, I think. So, you know, and this kid from the other guy that they got as a free agent.
Kepler
is a ton better than what we got out of the other guy that we traded to Atlanta.
Well, Whit Merrifield, you mean?
Yeah, that's a low bar.
Yeah, but
Whit Merrifield was a utility guy. Like, Kepler's going to start every day. It's really just he has to be better than Austin Hayes.
That's a low bar, too.
Is a utility guy, too. They're going to fit in the lineup. So, and I think they need to put Trey at number one and keep the lineup where you got to protect Harper.
Yeah, well, that's on Harper, too, in hitting two. Hey, John, give us next question. Give us something, a skill or ability you wish you had.
I don't have anything, Spike. Thank you.
You do everything great.
Awesome.
Yeah. He does everything awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the protection on Harper is on. I think that's one good thing about moving him to two is having more hitters behind
him. Natural protection.
Right. It's just more protection. Yeah. And Trey at leadoff is great if Trey's approach. Yeah. If Trey hasn't always been Mr. Try to hit a home run every time, right, Jack?
No.
I mean, before it was when he got here.
So, let me ask you this. Trey's going to start off at leadoff.
Yeah.
That two-hole spot is going to either be Bohm or Schwarber.
You don't think it's
not going to be Bryce. It's not going to be Bryce. We all know it's not going to be Bryce.
What if we talk to him on...
Yeah. Am I allowed to ask him just about the idea of it tomorrow?
Yes.
I don't want to make you guys mad.
Make me mad.
All right. I don't want to upset the big guy.
Well, here's the thing. If you upset him, he's mad at you.
Right. That's fair. You guys can go, I didn't want them to ask that.
I don't know why he asked you that, Bryce.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
No, seriously, it's going to be Schwarber or Bohm.
Well, I think it'd be Schwarber over Bohm, but yeah.
And so then Bohm goes back to the four.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Bryce has got to hit two. He's got to hit two. 215-592-9494. Is it? Oh, that's what he told us.
That's what he told us.
Yeah. Jack, coming up next, we do have our 4 o'clock High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Now, we're talking about the Phils, but what about the Phils do you have coming up in the report?
Well, some concerning comments from Rob Thompson about one player on the team.
Oh, no.
Concerning?
About one player on the team.
Kind of funny.
Okay.
I appreciated it. Good work by Rob Thompson. He's putting on a good act.
Oh, I think I know who it's about. You know what I'm going to do? Hold on. I had a pen here. I'm going to write down who I think it's about.
Yes.
I'm going to write down who it is, and we'll find out.
Could there be an extension coming for one of the key fills?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Lot to get to.
Okay. That's next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.